Praise the Lord, this is Tony Lama. We're reading through the Bible. Right now we're on the 14th chapter of Genesis. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape, to bless the message. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you open every heart, every spirit, the mind of every spirit, to receive your word, that it be engrafted into us, and make it stand one more day at a time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Chapter 14, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Commentary. Abram rescues Lot, verses 1 through 2. About this time, war broke out in the region. King Amraphel of Babylonia, King Arioch of Elasar, King Chedorlaomer of Elam, and King Tidal of Goim fought against King Bera of Sodom, King Birsha of Gomorrah, King Shinab of Admah, King Shemeber of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, now called Zoar. King James Version, verse 3. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea.
Then the Dead Sea. Then what else?
Commentary, verse 3. The kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela formed an alliance and mobilized their armies in Siddim Valley. I mean the Valley of the Dead Sea. King James Version, verse 4. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Commentary, verse 4. For 12 years they had all been subject to King Chedorlaomer, but now in the 13th year they rebelled. King James Version, verse 5. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Shaveh, Kiriathaim.
Oh, those are giants. Those long, tall, black people. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 5. 1 year later, Chedorlaomer and his allies arrived. They conquered the Rephaites in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, the Zuzites in Ham, the Emites in the plain of Kiriathaim. King James Version, verse 6.
One of them guys had a bed that was 12 feet long. No, I'm under 6 feet. So that means the guy was more than twice as tall as I am. Not trying to minimize myself. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 6. And the Horites in their mount Seir unto El-Paran, which is by the wilderness.
See, this ceiling here is 8 foot tall. That means this guy would stand 4 feet higher than the ceiling. To give you a little idea. Most houses, you know, have 8 foot ceilings. That's a pretty tall person, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Commentary, verse 6. And the Horites in Mount Seir, as far as El-Paran, and the edge of the wilderness. King James Version, verse 7. And they returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, that dwelt in Hazion Tamar. Commentary, verse 7. Then they swung around to En-Mishpat, now called Kadesh, and destroyed the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, living in Hazazon Tamar. King James Version, verse 8. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. Commentary, verse 8. But now the army of the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, and Bela, now called Zoar, prepared for battle in the valley of the Dead Sea. King James Version, verse 9. With Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. Commentary, verse 9. Against King Chedorlaomer of Elam, and the kings of Goim, Babylonia, Elasar, four kings against five. King James Version, verse 10. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain.
A lot of the people that were trying to escape fell into the tar pits or the slime pits or the asphalt. And even to this very day, big chunks of that asphalt comes up over there on one side of the Dead Sea. Chunks of it keep coming up. Then what?
Commentary, verse 10. As it happened, the valley was filled with tar pits. And as the army of the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some slipped into the tar pits, while the rest escaped into the mountains. King James Version, verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way.
Some people call it slime, some call it mortar, some people call it tar, some people call it asphalt that they make roads out of. Okay, then what else?
Commentary, verse 11. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and began their long journey home, taking all the wealth and food with them. King James Version, verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Commentary, verse 12. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew, who lived in Sodom, and took everything he owned. King James Version, verse 13. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. Commentary, verse 13. One of the men who escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was camped at the oak grove belonging to Mamre the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives, Eshcol and Aner, were Abram's allies.
His friends. Then what?
King James Version, verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Commentary, verse 14. When Abram learned that Lot had been captured, he called together the men born into his household, 318 of them in all. He chased after...
Now, when you call him brother, that means kin, you know, like blacks call each other brother. Okay, so it's really his nephew, but he says his brother, okay? So you have to think of those things while you're reading, amen?
Amen.
Or it's your kinsman, or you could say your relative, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so right even in the church of the Lord, we call each other brothers and sisters, amen?
Amen.
Even though some of us might have nephews, we call them brother, amen?
Amen.
Or nephew or whatever, you know, kinsman. Then what? Relative.
Commentary, verse 14. He chased after Chedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them in Dan. King James Version, verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus.
So what Abram did is he waited until nighttime and then split all his 300 and some odd people into troops, and they attacked them while they were sleeping. A good plan, amen?
Amen.
Then what? Go ahead.
Commentary, verse 15. There he divided his men and attacked during the night from several directions.
They didn't know what was coming at them. One was coming in through the one window in the front of the house, and the other one over here in the back of the tent, and some of them was crawling underneath the tent. They started fleeing. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else?
Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them to Hobah, north of Damascus. King James Version, verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also. And
his brother Lot, his nephew. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. That was his brother's son. Okay?
Yeah.
Then what?
Brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Commentary, verse 16. Abram and his allies recovered everything, the goods that had been taken, Abram's nephew Lot with his possessions.
See right there. I'm saying his nephew. Amen?
Amen.
That's his brother, you know. Okay, then what?
And all the women and other captives. King James Version, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Commentary, Melchizedek blesses Abram. Verse 17. As Abram returned from his victory over Chedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, the king's valley. King James Version, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God.
Now, bread and wine then was considered to be like a royal banquet, because it's celebrating the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That's the royal banquet. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God Most High, brought him bread and wine. King James Version, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Commentary, verse 19 and 20. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing, quote, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has helped you conquer your enemies. End quote. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. King James Version, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself.
The persons, okay. This is like the king of Sodom telling after Abram had already conquered the enemies, then this Sodomite comes out, the king of Sodom, and says, you know, you can give us the people of Sodom, but you can keep all the different things that you, all the other things that you got. And Abram told him, I'm not taking anything. He knows he's this is a very, very sinful people. He said, I'm not even one thread from you. That you people might say that you made Abram rich. Okay, I'm not even going to take the thong of one of your sandals. I'm not going to take anything from you. But you can divide it up among my allies. Okay, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 21. The king of Sodom told him, quote, Give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered. King James Version, verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Commentary, verse 22 and 23. Abram replied, quote, I have solemnly promised the Lord God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal from you.
Or a thong from a sandal for you, from you, okay? He swore to God that he wouldn't take anything from you. Okay, then what else?
Otherwise you might say, quote, I am the one who made Abram rich. King James Version, verse 24. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Commentary, verse 24. All I'll accept is what these young men of mine have already eaten. But give a share of goods to my allies, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 16.
Okay, now this is strictly commentary. The verses are already been read now. Okay, go ahead.
These verses place Abram suddenly in an international scene.
Right, there's people there from Turkey and Iran, and today's Iran and Iraq, and they're all over the place. It's like an international war going on. Then what?
The four kings came quite a distance from what is now modern Iran, Iraq, and Turkey, on a raid to quell or quench a rebellion near the Dead Sea area against Eastern Alliance. Verse 2, they take Lot. Verse 12. Chapter 14, verses 5 through 6. Chedorlaomer and the kings traveled southward in Transjordan, first conquering their tribes. The Rephaim and the Emim were the very tall people who were destroyed finally by the Israelites under Moses. Their king had a bed more than 12 feet long. Deuteronomy 3:11.
I wonder if he, you know, if he gets the covers from... Amen?
Amen.
They make sheets that big? All right, then what?
Deuteronomy 3:11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man.
And a lot of people say, most people say that a cubit is 16 inches. Okay, then what?
Then the kings marched south to conquer the Horites, who would later be dispossessed by the descendants of Esau. Chapter 14, verse 10. The 5 allied armies were defeated by the invaders from the east. Some of the survivors fell into the asphalt pits. To this day, occasional chunks of asphalt or bitumen float to the surface at the southern end of the Dead Sea. Chapter 14, verse 13. Abram the Hebrew, quote, Hebrew, end quote, is the name identifying the chosen family.
Yeah, most of the time it was foreigners. The Israelite, the Hebrews didn't really like necessarily like that name, but the enemies, their enemies, and people, foreigners from other countries, would identify him by the name. That's the Hebrews. Okay? And there are scriptures that I put here to back that up.
Genesis 39:14 through 17, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Genesis chapter 40, verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Genesis chapter 41, verse 12. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. Genesis chapter 43, verse 32. And they set...
So it's not just enemies, but it's the foreigners. The foreigners, we call them Hebrews, okay? Then what?
43:32, and they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. His brother, quote, kinsman, end quote, or relative, end quote, that his servants were already trained for war is indicative of the political conditions of the time and of the need for strong patriarchal leaders like Abram. Abram was not only wealthy, he was also a mighty military man. Genesis 14, verse 15. North of Damascus indicates Abram drove them somewhere outside the promised land. Genesis 14, verse 18 through 20. Abram's seemingly routine encounter with the regional king of Salem is revealed centuries later as being an encounter with Jesus Christ in his role as priest.
King and priest, too. Then what?
Psalm 110, 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Back into the commentary. Melchizedek means, quote, my king is righteous or legitimate, end quote. And he greets Abram with a royal banquet, bread and wine. Uniquely occupying the offices of king and priest, he worships God the Father Most High. Abram responds to his office generously and blessing by giving him a tithe of all the spoils gathered in the recent war. Genesis 14, 21 through 24. Abram will not take any of the booty recovered, but tells the king of Sodom to give share with his allies, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre.
Okay, that was chapter 14 of the book of Genesis, and we have, as I mentioned before, that I had seen the Life magazine article many years ago in regard to where they found Noah's Ark, and there was a big picture of it on the cover of Life magazine, and so it was found on the internet now, and so we're going to read some of these things that it says about it. Now, the cubit measurements of that in the Bible, it actually was bigger. It was instead of 450 feet, it went some 500 and some feet. And it was, my friend went up there to get it, and I mentioned to you that he said it looked like old railroad ties. And they took pictures, x-ray pictures of it inside, and they saw the stalls inside there. And they actually saw the ramps going up, and there were three floors on the bottom floor, the middle floor, and the floor above. And so go ahead and start reading some of this. What is the header on it?
It says, "This is Noah's Ark, the real Noah's Ark, top 10 points to consider. Number one, it is in the shape of a boat with a pointed bow and rounded stern. Number two..."
That's bow, not bow.
Oh, sorry.
Me being from the Navy, I mean, you... Okay. All right, so it's a bow, not a bow. Okay, then what?
Number two, the exact length as noted in biblical description, 515 feet or 300 Egyptian cubits. Egyptian, not Hebrew, cubit would have been known to Moses, who studied in Egypt, then wrote Genesis. Number three, it is on a mountain in eastern Turkey, as stated in the Bible. Quote, "The ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat," Genesis 8:4. Ararat being the name of the ancient country Araratu, which covered this region.
Right, it's like a region of mountains. And one of the peaks is where it rested. Then what?
Vertical rib timbers on its sides, comprising the skeletal superstructure boat. Regular patterns of horizontal and vertical deck support beams, and also seen on the surface of the ark. The ark rests upon Seznakdigdag, or Kudi Dagi Mountain, which is translated as Doomsday Mountain.
Isn't that something? That would rest on Doomsday Mountain. That was Doomsday for the whole world except those eight souls. That's isn't that ironic?
Yes.
No, it's the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
Radar scans show a regular pattern of timbers inside the ark formation, revealing keels, keelsons, gunnels, bulkheads, animal chambers, ramp system, door in right front, two large barrels in front, 14 by 24 feet, and an open center area for airflow to all three levels. There is only one verse in the Bible which gives us a hint of where the ark came to rest. Quote, "The ark rested on the mountains of Ararat," Genesis 8:4. Where is Ararat? The name Ararat is a large area or ancient country, Turkey, western Iran, and western Russia, as shown in yellow below. The name Ararat, as it appears in the Bible, is the Hebrew equivalent of Araratu. Mistakenly assumed, the Bible meant the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, Agri Dag. It came to rest in the mountains of the ancient country of Ararutu, not on Mount Ararat.
Well, this is the fault of translators. Amen, because the original does say the mountains of Ararat. Okay, or then what else?
18.2 miles south of Mount Ararat at the elevation of 6,524 feet.
There's no timber in that area, so it had to come from afar off. There's no vegetation on that mountain whatsoever, that mountain range. Okay, so there's no way they could cart all that lumber out there to build it or fabricate it and make it look like it was Noah's Ark. You could tell they said a whole team of people from the newspapers went up there, from the Washington Star newspaper. Bill Willoughby, a friend of mine, went up there and found, they all found that ark, and they brought chips of it back. They chipped it out. And he said you could tell it was Noah's Ark. Then what else?
In the research he performed over the next 15 years, successfully performed metal detection tests and subsurface radar scans of the site, and he proved this site, mud and lava-covered remains of Noah's Ark. The Hebrew cubit, which was not even in existence when Moses wrote Genesis.
So they were using the Egyptian cubit, which the translators, I tried to figure it's 450 feet, but it's actually over 500 feet. So, you know, I was a few inches off on each cubit. Amen? But you give an approximate, all right?
Yes.
Because I'm not an Egyptian, okay? It was just figuring from a Hebrew cubit. Then what?
Earthquake in eastern Turkey. The earth dropped from around the sides of the ark, defining the form clearly and making it more accessible for research. The ark contains a large amount of metal fittings used to secure the large timbers together. Turkish officials reported removing 4-foot-long metal rods from them.
And, you know, it shows in early chapters of Genesis that there were men, people back then that were working with metals. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, they were making weapons and everything out of metal. And so it's no big deal back then for them to manufacture metal rods 4 feet long. Okay. Then what? Is that it? Well, praise the Lord. We ought to order a copy of that Life magazine because it's far more informative than even this that we got off the internet. All right, that was chapter 14 of the book of Genesis. And tomorrow, Lord willing, I'll be doing chapter 15. Until then, God bless you real good. Praise the Lord.